This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 92. Well, good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's a show focused on everything to do with fantasy books. From epic fantasy to urban fantasy, swords and sorcery, or anything else in between, you can expect to find the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the fantasy book world here on the show. To start off things this week, I'll begin with my own author update. I'm really excited about the release of Huntress Cadet, Book 3 in the Huntress Clan Saga. That came out last week. I'm so excited about it. I've already started working on Book 4, Huntress Scout. Lots of great twists already in the new book, and I'm really excited about it. So if you haven't already listened or read the first three of the books, audiobooks are coming, but they're not out yet. But if you haven't read the first three, please pick them up. I think you'll enjoy it. They're great, really standard urban fantasy series from a sense of what you might like. So if you like urban fantasy, I think you'll really like these, and they have an interesting VR gaming twist in them. You can check out more information about what I'm up to and what I have coming out soon on Facebook in my reader group, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, and over at my website and blog, jamiedavisbooks.com. I look forward to hearing from you. I have contact forms over on my website, and of course, you can always check out and join the group and leave a comment over there as well. On today's show, I interview Ken Boyder. Ken loves stories and storytelling, especially fantasy. He writes stories to show we can learn more about real life and the nature of humanity through fantasy reading. He really enjoys world building and the ongoing process of creating his own magical world of Edra. As well as writing and storytelling, Ken's also an actor, an artist, a graphic designer, and a medium. He has an English literature degree from the University of Sussex and co-created and co-hosts the Bottled Imp YouTube channel. Check out my interview with Ken right now. Hi, Ken. I'd like to welcome you to the show. And here we are at the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. And I just want to say thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me, Jamie. It's great to be here.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, how you got started writing fiction? You do so many things artistically, but what brought you to the realm of writing, actually verse, because I've read your book and it's more verse than prose.
Yeah, it's an interesting, well, like all of our stories, our own stories start when we're young. I remember as a kid just reading, being like loving being transported to a different world. I loved watching telly as well, and watching films at the cinema. So I wanted to replicate, you know, my influences. And I remember one TV show in particular, which was Jim Henson's The Storyteller. And I loved all the folklore, all the folk tales that they recreated, because a lot of them were known folk tales from, you know, Swedish countries and Denmark and, you know, various other European, ancient European countries. And so I loved that. And I loved folk tales with a message. So I began writing my own years ago when I was a kid. And then I kind of on and off, I kept doing it. And hopefully I got a bit better. And then, of course, I started reading, you know, longer novels. So series like Terry Pratchett, I started to read those types of novels. And that was really a bit of a turning point, because I thought, oh yeah, he's introduced humor. And before that, humor was kind of there, but it wasn't the main thing. And I remember wanting to write my own Terry Pratchett novel, basically. And I did achieve that. I wrote 30,000 words when I was 17. But I kind of ran out of plot. And I never really did anything with it. And I wish I had. I wish I had kept going. But what happened was I then did various other things, as you might have found out about me. I did graphic design. I've done acting. I've done various other different things. but writing always came back to me. And so consequently, I went off to university quite late. And I studied the English literature. I wanted to know, you know, why do people think classics are classics? What makes a good novel? What makes a good story? And so from that, that kind of galvanized me, and I wanted to get back into writing. And the verse thing was accidental. So I'm not somebody that really loved poetry. I very rarely read poetry, but I was actually asked to write a story that was a Polish story, and the lady didn't speak very good English. So she wanted me to sort of do a translation. So she wrote down in her pidgin English this story, and she wanted it in verse. So I set about doing it in verse, and I really loved the process. But for me, I wanted to do, it wasn't a fantasy story. So I thought, I could use this verse and make it fantasy, make it a little bit darker. And then, I thought, well, Beowulf is one of the big classic epics. And in the end, it just got away from me. It began as a sort of semi-small project. And then in the end, it was like over 12,000 words. So it was a big sort of saga. And I really enjoyed it. I love the wordplay that you can get with verse. So, yeah, that's kind of, you know, rambling, like my stories. Rambling stories within stories. I like that. So that's kind of basically a little bit about my writing history there.
And if people pick it up, I mean, it's listed under children's folk tales and myth collections. But I have to say, I as an adult, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's quite different the way you move from the different characters and introducing them separately with their own storylines. Before it kind of all comes together. You don't really realize how they're all connected necessarily until near the end. At least for me, it wasn't too apparent. There were a few things that were connected, but you know, each person had their own story, their own discrete section.
Yeah. Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you. Yeah. That was an interesting, when you write something, I just thought I'm going to write what I kind of want to read and what I enjoy. And so I had children in mind, but I don't like to dumb down. I don't like to, you know, spoon feed anybody. And children can be immensely intelligent. So I thought, I'm just going to pitch it. I'm just going to write it what I find interesting and what I find joyous. And what happened was, as I started to sell the book, when people said, well, what age group is it? And I thought, well, children, they like poetry. And I thought, but then what happened was I've sort of decided not to really call it a children's book, because I have had adults that have bought it primarily for their child, but they've read it to them and they've really enjoyed it as well. So it's like, oh, okay, cool. It has that, hopefully it's got that level of sophistication. And with the stories within stories, yeah, the way that I wrote the book was I did plan out the book. I planned out there's three main story plots, but I planned them out, but I didn't want to over plan it, because then you can lose some of the creativity. So I like it when your brain just goes off into a daydream. And then it allows for other stories to creep in. And it's a bit of a cliche, but your characters just tend to take over. So you have to be wary that they're not leading you down dead ends and it's going to be a bit boring or it's going to be a bit rambly. But in the end, I like to think, yes, if they've got something to say and they just kind of take over me, then I'll put it in, as long, and my number one premise for that, as long as it's entertaining, and as long as it has a connection, you know, a tentative connection to the main plots. And so that was the joy, because as I was writing it, so there's one side story called The True Love Treasure or The True Love Rose. And it's primarily a little cautionary tale about marrying for greed. And that wasn't meant to be as long as it is. But I just really got into the story. The story just kept coming. And I was like, wow, okay. And I thought, well, if I'm enjoying it, hopefully the reader will enjoy it as well.
And you know, we talk about this being verse or poetry, but I have to say it reads more like an epic ballad. And I think that people will appreciate that. I quickly, after starting reading, got lost in the verse and was right. immersed in the story. So I didn't feel like I was reading poetry and had to think about it in that manner. The story came through in the same way that a ballad, a great song that tells a story, brings the characters to life in a certain way. I think this does the same thing. Kudos. And I completely agree. I think it's great for parents to read to their kids and enjoy on a whole different level because you didn't dumb it down. There are things in here kids are going to enjoy. There are things in here that adults are going to enjoy. And they're going to be different and kind of like a Disney movie. You know, the Disney's, you know, when they make a good movie, they make it smart. They know the adults have to sit through this with their kids. So they put adult humor in there and you find yourself laughing right along with everyone else. So good stuff. Definitely.
Thank you. Yeah. For me, there's two things that are paramount in a story and characterization. Do you care about the characters? Do you enjoy the characters? Do you want to know what they're going to be doing next? And if you can, and so for me, the characters have to come first and foremost. And so it's almost like the characters come first and then the plot, because I have to know the characters to know their motivation, what makes them tick. How would they react in any situation? And then obviously there are exceptions to that. Some people can act out of character, but you have to know what they are really like initially to then flip it if you want to. But again, it all has to be for a reason. So so hopefully, you know, you do forget that it's poetry, it's verse, because it was an interesting process because I remember writing the chapter one and being quite happy with it but thinking, wow, this is going to take quite some time because, you know, trying to rhyme takes a lot of thought, doesn't it? and then I was talking to my friend about it and they were asking how the progress was coming along. And I said, well, you know, I'm enjoying it, but it's really like pulling, you know, blood from a stone. And they said, well, you know, as at least you've got your rhyming dictionary. And I said, I'm sorry, what? And they went, yeah, you know, rhyming dictionary. And I went, what is one of those? And they said, you haven't got. So I was so immensely grateful that I found out about a rhyming dictionary because I'm not really into poetry. So it's nice that you do say that you don't get sort of bogged down by poetry, because my imagery of poetry was, you know, sort of, it's all a bit airy fairy and it's all a bit, you know, you're not quite sure what they're trying to say. And that's my bad. That's me not understanding poetry. But I didn't want that. I wanted it to be a proper characters, proper stories, the story and the characters drive it. And that for above all, it's entertaining. Well, thank you. It seems like it's come across that way.
and we have to remember, I mean, there's lots of different types of verse and the way that verse has come across. I mean, you know, Shakespeare wrote in verse. And nobody's going to say his characters aren't deep and entertaining and engaging. Definitely. Right. What was it like working with Rich Nairn on the illustrations? Because there are some illustrations. I don't want to think that like this isn't a picture book by any stretch of the imagination, but there are illustrations of the different characters and scenes interspersed throughout the story.
Yeah, well, Rich is a delight to work with. He's a good friend of mine now, and we first met actually. We did some extra work. We did some supporting artist work on the feature film Hugo, And that was a huge film. I don't know if you've seen the film, but it was a huge film. It was that they filmed it at least filming. I mean, I was on the film for 6 months and Rich was on the film for roughly the same amount. And so we would go in, we got to know each other, and we soon realized we shared the same sense of humor and the same love of fantasy and the same love of sort of dark, twisted tales and folklore. And it's so nice when I could give him a bit of a brief, because I do have quite a strong vision for the characters, because I get to know them and I get to know what they want to wear and I get to know, you know, what they're like and their characters. And so it was nice to give him, you know, a sort of clear vision. But I did say to Rich, I wanted him to get some creativity out of the project as well. So I said to him, put in little things. If you think of something, put it in, you know, something in the corner, you know, a funny little side joke in the background, whatever you want to do, put it in. And one of my favorite things that he did was with there's 20 flying iron monkeys. And the main character has, he builds them. And they're his like little assistants. But, you know, I wanted them to have characters. So some of them don't really follow what he wants. And, you know, they're a bit mischievous. And I said to Rich, I'm just going to give you the names of the 20 monkeys. And you design them. You come up with whatever comes into your head. And he loved that. He really embraced it. And I didn't really. So when he would give me the character designs back, I didn't really have to change too much of it. I think for the only one that was really tricky actually was Grimace Ironblood, who is the healer. He's one of the main characters. And because I wanted a character, he is quite a complex character. He has a desire to heal. He has a very altruistic outlook in life, but he has had quite a tragic life himself. So I wanted, you know, so from a visual point of view, you kind of want that to be visualized all at once on a person's face. So we did work that one a little bit longer than the others, but, and I'm glad we did, because I really feel like we've nailed it. And there is a, unfortunately with the Kindle version, because of the file size, I couldn't put all the illustrations in. But the actual print version, there's over 50 illustrations in there. So, and I wanted that kind of, they're black and white. And I wanted that old, do you remember the Fighting Fantasy books by Ian Livingstone and Steve Jackson?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, they're fantastic. They're like the Choose Your Own Adventure books. Okay. And yeah, they had some really lovely black and white line drawings. And I wanted to evoke that. I didn't want to copy them exactly. Rich is a very talented illustrator and a caricaturist, cartoonist. And so they're not out and out cartoony, but they're not out and out serious. There's a lovely, hopefully there's a lovely element of humor that runs through all of the illustrations as well.
I can definitely see the caricature nature of the way that they're represented. Their heads are a little larger in proportion to their bodies, but it fits. I mean, because I think, you know, as humans, we are so drawn to face and the features of someone's face, the expressions on their face. Grimace definitely has a somber air about him. And you definitely, I think I can agree. I think that's very well captured in the story. Just really, there's so many things about this that caught me by surprise. I was expecting just a fantasy book. I had no idea what I was getting into. And you sent me a PDF version of the print book. Yeah. And I opened it and, you know, I'm like, oh, it's poetry. Okay. And then maybe it's just poetry at the beginning. But before I knew it, I was into the story and I was probably halfway through and I'm like, it's all poetry and I don't care.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, and the images caught me. I was able to tell who they were from the story and the description. Just really well done. And And it's just interesting to see how the different aspects of our art come together. When we work with an illustrator, I the same thing for me with cover designs. I like to get my covers done before I start writing. So I have an idea for the story and the characters, so I give that to my cover designer. And invariably, the cover designer will come back with something in the picture, in the image of the character that I hadn't told them about. But they had to envision this character. They had to flesh them out. And usually there's some aspect of that that I'm like, that is so cool. I am definitely writing that into the book. And so it's that partnership that I think when you collaborate with other artists in other mediums that really bring things to life.
You can totally be inspired by each other, because Rich very nicely said to me, so halfway through, he'd done about half of the illustrations, and he said to me, Ken, I'm really happy that you've asked me to do this, because that's inspired him. He was inspired to then do his own books, and he had written, and coincidentally, he'd written some funny verse as well. A bit more macabre than my ones, a bit more adult. His ones are definitely adult, but very funny. But he hadn't actually got round to doing the illustrations and doing it as a book. And he said, right, when I finish your one, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go straight on to, you know, his own project. And so consequently, he's done about two or three of his own verse books, but they're slightly smaller. They're not a big saga like this one, but and I love that, because then, you know, I've read them, and then I can get ideas from him, and we're actually collaborating again. This is breaking news, by the way. I've not actually told anyone else yet. We've discussed we've both got Patreon accounts, campaigns, and his is illustrations, mine's writing. And I said to him, wouldn't it be cool if we did a collaboration where one of my tiers, I write a short story set in the world of Edra, which is where this story is set. And each month I'll do a short story. So I've been doing that. And he's been doing each month, one of his tiers is where he draws a really kind of, I don't know, quirky animal. And he calls them, I can't remember what it's like an animal. I can't remember what it is, like a zoo, and I said, well, why don't we do a fantasy version of that? So I'll write a short story and you can have that for your Patreon as well as my Patreon. And so his patrons get an extra, thing. They get a short story. And then he'll do a fantasy creature that's sort of based on whatever the short story is. And so my patrons then get an illustration, because they are so wonderful that I thought they're going to love it. And again, it's that collaboration. And when you find someone who's right on your wavelength, who just kind of you, it's almost like we're the same person, but obviously we're not. Where you just think, yeah, we are so creatively alike that you kind of want to do more and more projects with them. So there you go. I'm happy to announce that.
That's exciting. And let's talk a little bit about your Patreon page, because this is something not a lot of authors are doing. I mean, there are many that are doing it, but I don't think as many as could be doing it. And it's just exciting to kind of give people an opportunity to support your work and get something in exchange for being a subscribing member of your Patreon page. So tell us a little bit about what people can get there and how that came about.
Well, it came about because I was getting distracted because I do run a YouTube channel called The Bottled Imp, as you probably know, and that's great. I love it. We explore fantasy. We do book reviews, film reviews, all of that. But I realized, hang on, I've not even planned, I've vaguely planned out the next book, and I was thinking, I'm not writing. I've kind of forgotten. I did do a stage play, though, actually. I adapted some of the book and took it up to Edinburgh Fringe, and we performed it. It was a two-hander, me and a wonderful actress and storyteller, Vicky Holden-Swindon, and we performed it. We did 18 shows in Edinburgh. It was very well received. But that was the only writing that I'd done in about 3 or 4 years. And I thought, hang on, time's slipping past. I've got distracted. So the whole point with the patron was I work well if I know that other people are expecting me to write. I don't want to let people down. So I thought, I know, if I do a patron, then each month, come high or hell water, I will be producing work. And they can, you know, hold me accountable. And it's so far, it's worked beautifully because one of the tiers is, yeah, you get a short story, brand new short story, set in the world of Edra. And for me, it's brilliant because I then explore aspects of the world that I've not even thought of and different characters. The most recent one I've just finished that's being proofread at the moment is all about the Wendigo creature. And I've done it where one of the characters is actually a journal. So I can play with different formats as well. You know, so I can do a diary or a journal 1 month, or I can do, you know, a first person, but directly to the reader, or I could do a third person story. So again, I can play with the formats. I've even done a few verse ones as well. So I've been really enjoying that. And again, everything's about writing. It's all about writing. It's all about the love of fantasy. It's all about and creativity as well. One of the other things that I've started up is doing a podcast like yourself. And we record it in a pub. So it's the it's the podcast in a pub, which is great. So I decided to call it the Pubcast. So it's Tales from Edra, the Pubcast. And because over the last 10 years I've been doing acting and writing and the Bottled Imp, I've been very fortunate enough to meet loads of creative people and very interesting and smart people. And so I've just said, you know what? Wouldn't it be nice just to have a relaxed conversation, or just a chat in a pub? We'll have a couple of drinks and we can really explore what it is that makes them tick. So I'm basically interviewing them, but I didn't want it to be rushed. So because I talk a lot and ramble on and we go off in tangents, I wanted to keep that all in because it's almost like you're listening to us like you're listening to two mates. You're just two friends chatting. But we talk about writing. We talk about, you know, whatever they are. So for example, I interviewed Kate Miller, who's a playwright, and she's written some historical plays that I've acted in. And I just, like you, where did you start? How did you get into it? And then from there, we just, you know, talk about whatever. But it's always to do with creativity. And the other thing that I was really interested in, and I must admit, I kind of nicked this idea off One Fantastic Week, which is a brilliant YouTube channel where they're fantasy artists. So if you haven't checked that out, I urge anybody to check that out. And they talk about creativity. Obviously, their focus is on creative art, but it's also about how do you make it as a, you know, how do you earn a living as a creative person? Because I don't know about you, but my soul really sings when I'm being creative. It's when I'm the most happiest. You know, I'm not grumpy to people. If I'm doing something that I don't particularly want to do for a job, it makes you depressed, doesn't it? So I wanted to really kind of crack that. Can you make it? Can you earn a living as a writer? And in this day and age, it's a double-edged sword because we've got self-publishing, you've got, you know, digital publishing, you've got print on demand, so you can pretty much just publish without any upfront costs. You know, and of course you need to do a cover and that, but if you can do it yourself, then, you know, there's relatively little cost. The downside is there's so much more competition now. And how do you stand out from the crowd? How do you get your work known? So we explore all of that. We end up rambling on for about an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. Hopefully it's entertaining. So they get access to that as well. And what else do I do? Oh, the other thing is that I'm looking at revamping the Patreon page as well, because what I realized, and I thought, well, let's give it a go. Let's see what I can put together. And then I can always, the beautiful thing about all of this is you can relook at it. So I thought I need to focus it again on the writing. And so I've just worked out new patrons as well, new tier levels of what I'm going to be doing, of which is one of the, you know, collaborating with Rich and the illustrations. And there is that I do want to give value for money, and I want people to get excited about what I'm doing, and hopefully that can inspire them. I also do a web chat. So I do a live broadcast to patrons only, which is like, it's like a show. I do fantasy news. I do writing tips. I thank the patrons, you know, I do a scroll call. I do readings from little books. And then I obviously give project updates about what projects I'm working on at the moment. So again, I've been talking far too long.
Perfectly all right. We're here to hear what you have to say. And so there's no such thing on this podcast anyway of the guest talking too much. They hear me all the time. They don't need to hear me talking too much. As we kind of wrap up here, tell us a little bit about how you enjoy reaching out or meeting. You talked about Patreon, so that's one way you connect with your readers. Have you ever done any kind of conventions or those kind of events, or do you prefer people to reach out to you on your Facebook page? What's your preferred method of communication?
Yeah, I do like Facebook. Facebook, the Tales of Edra is the Facebook page. I've got a little face. So if you do join as the patron, then I've got a patron-only group where we interact. Obviously, the Bottled Imp, over the last 5 years, we have gone to conventions. And so that's always, I always like it when people kind of just stop you randomly and go, hi, I watch your show, it's great. And they're genuinely happy. And you think, it's worthwhile doing because people genuinely enjoy what you do. So that's always lovely. There's the Tales from Edra website. So that's www.talesfromedra.com. And Edra is spelled E-D-R-A. So that's got all my information there. The other, my main, because I do so much, it's all kind of diverse, but I love doing it all, so why not? If you go to www.kenboyter.co.uk, and Boyter is spelled B-O-Y-T-E-R, that has links to every crazy thing that I do. So that's where you can get me.
Perfect. Well, Ken, thanks so much for coming on the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. It's great having you here. I urge people to check out your book, The Legends of Grimace Ironblood, book one of The Curious Bottle, Tales from Edra. So, check it out. And thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Jamie. It's been a pleasure. It's been great. Thank you.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more from the whole fantasy and sci-fi focus community over on Facebook. And of course, over at the website, fantasy-focus.com. Leave a comment on this episode and let me know what's on your mind. Also on the website, on each podcast episode post, you'll find links to subscribe to the show on your favorite mobile app for iOS, Android, or even subscribe by email if you want. You don't want to miss any of the upcoming episodes because we've got some pretty awesome authors scheduled in the next few months. You won't want to miss any of them, including our next episode with Susan Faw. That's it for this episode, though, of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook. I have my Facebook author page at Jamie Davis Books, my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, and of course my Fun Fantasy Reader group. Just search for Fun Fantasy Readers, join the group. We talk about all kinds of books, not just mine, and you can share your favorite books over there and talk about fantasy books and everything else. Just go ahead and check it out over on Facebook. Whatever you do, though, subscribe and come back here for the next podcast episode. And in the meantime, I'll remind you to keep your eyes open, folks, because whether you know it or not, there's magic all around you.